Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Menachos Daf Hey. We begin five lines from the top, right back into our discussion regarding a mincha so'imer, that mincha offering made of barley, which is brought on the 16th day of Nisan, the first day, the second day of Pesach, the purpose of which is to be matir the new crop, which up until that point was considered chadash, right? The new grain was forbidden for consumption, after which, after the omer is brought, it is mutter, it is now permissible. So we learned yesterday, in the name of Rav, although typically a mincha which was offered shaloi lishma, with the wrong intention, is going to be kosher, but the owner has to bring a new one to accommodate his commitment. Mincha so'imer is different, says Rav. You know why? Because it failed to accomplish what it set out to accomplish. The whole purpose, the point, the objective was to be matir, right? To permit the new crop. And it hadn't done that. Because, as we said, it doesn't really count. It's not really considered a fulfillment because it was shaloi lishma. So although the mincha technically is, although the mincha typically would be kosher if it's shaloi lishma, but in this case it's different. Because the objective was not accomplished. It's a failed mission. That's Rav Shita. Continues the Gemara. V'Rav Shimon ben Lakish Amar. He disagrees. Rish Lakish holds that although the mincha indeed did not accomplish its objective, it was not matir the new crop because it was shaloi lishma, it's not considered a fulfillment of the mincha requirement. It wasn't done properly, so it can't really accomplish what it's meant to accomplish. But the mincha itself is still kosher. So you continue, you process it, you burn the kaimitz on the mizbeach, and the leftovers of this very mincha can be consumed as well, because the mincha itself is still kosher. Rav Shimon Lakish Amar Mincha So'imer, even a Mincha So'imer, which is a very specific mincha with a very defined objective, shekam to shalei lishma, whose kmitza was done shalei lishma, the mincha is still kshera. And the leftovers will be given to the kohanim, but wait, they have to wait it out until we in fact bring another mincha so'imer properly. That mincha so'imer will be matar the new crop, as well as the shiraim of the first mincha. Because let's keep in mind, the material used in the first mincha is chadash, is as yet forbidden, until mincha so'imer is processed properly, which didn't happen in the first mincha. So that shiraim has to wait on standby until the second mincha is brought, until the makeup mincha so'imer is brought, which will be matir the new crop, as well as the shrayim in the first mincha, the shiriyah, and the leftovers of the first sort of failed mincha, ein chalon cannot be eaten at shetavi mincha so'imer acher satira, until you bring another mincha so'imer and fulfill your obligation properly, and that will give the green light to all the new crop, including the leftovers of the first mincha. Ask the Gemara, hold it. We all know that you cannot offer material which is forbidden for personal consumption. Mikra v'hechi karva. The question is, how could you burn the kaimas of the first mincha, which technically is comprised of material which is asr? Because as we explained, until the second new one is brought, the first material is asr for a person to eat. So likewise, you can't offer that forbidden material on the mizbeach. Mimashki Yisrael, we learn from a pasuk. Necheskel has to be something which is can be offered to a Yisrael, to an ordinary person, minamutal Yisrael, only that could be given to the Mizbeach, Amar Ba'da Bar Ava. Interesting point, because over Shlokesh holds, it's not an issue in this case, because it's going to become permissible on the same day. Although 9 o'clock in the morning, when the first mincha is brought, it's not yet. But 12 o'clock, when you'll finally bring the second successful one, which will permit the material, it's considered like retroactively, like the first material was permissible because it all happened on the same day. within this one day of you know, Beis HaMikdash activity, it's all considered like one unit, one entity, one unit of time. So we don't differentiate between 10 o'clock in the morning and 12 o'clock. So if it's going to be mutter sometime throughout this day, it is already considered in the permissible, you know, category of materials. Because it's not considered lacking in time. It's not considered premature if it's going to happen on the same day. Since sometime today this material will be permissible, it is considered as such right now. I have a question on this point. We have a brace which compares bird, you know, karbonis to menachis. We have elements that we find by birds, not by menachis, and vice versa. Yesh ba'oifes, there are some elements found by birds that you don't have by the mincha, she'en b'menachas. And vice versa, yesh b'menachas, you have some advantages by mincha, unfound by the birds, she'en b'oifes. Here goes. Yesh b'oifes, what do we find by birds? Sha'oifes bo'in b'nedavas shnayim. You know, two individuals can offer a bird together as a partnership, something which you can't do by a mincha. Likewise, u'mechusr kapara. A bird is sometimes used for mechusar kapara, like a person whose tummy is a zav, yeledes. They bring a bird as part of their process. Behutru mechalasur mekodesh. Another interesting point you find by birds that you don't find by menachis, that the act of malika, of removing the bird's head from behind, that's something which is unique by karbanis. Only in the context of a karban can you do that. Because typically doing so would render the bird an avela, a dead bird. You can't do shechita like that from the back of the neck, right? So there was a hutur mechal yisur, which means there's an exception within the general realm of isur with respect to b'kodesh, when it's done within a kodesh context, within a hakrava system. So all these elements are found by birds. Mashiach b'menachis is not found by menachis. A mincha cannot be brought as a partnership. Mechusa kapara don't bring menachis, and there's no iser that became mutter, by a mincha, and vice versa. B'yesh b'menachis sha menachis tu'unis kli. There are unique elements found by a mincha. You need a kli, a kaimetz, right? The scoop you put into a kli. On the way to the mizbech or tenufa, you wave it back and forth. V'agasha, you tap the kli with the kaimis, the corner of the mizbeach. V'yeshnu b'tzibur k'b'yachid. Just as a private person can bring a mincha, likewise the public. And all these things are not found by birds, m'shaken b'yifis. V'mis, now, if what he's saying, if what he's saying is true, that by a mincha so'imr, that was done shalei l'shma, although it's asr to eat, because it's not yet, it's still chadash, right? Until you bring the second mincha. So, in effect, this is a case of hutur mechal yisurin b'kodesh. You're basically taking material which is forbidden, which is asur, for the ordinary man, and you're allowing it to the mizbeach. If that's correct, v'menachas nam mishkachas lo. The hutur mechal yisurin b'kodesh. Just like by a bird, you have hutur mechal yisurin, which we explained to pertaining to malika, the act of malika, which is typically something which forbids a bird for consumption for an ordinary person. Exception is made for the mizbeach. A similar exception we find by the mincha so'imer, that we allow burning, we allow offering of generally forbidden material. It's still chadash at 10 o'clock in the morning. And you can offer it on the mizbeach. Who mind you, mincha so'imer? An example of which is mincha so'im, as we just explained. Well, says the Gemara, no, that wouldn't really qualify as an exception. As hutur mechal yisurin, you know why? Because as we just explained, since it's going to be solved on the same day, there's no now and later. It's not like now it's asur and later it will be mutter. It's considered as though it's already permissible material for the mizbeach now, because it's going to become permitted today. And as we explained The term today in the Beis Hamikdash is like one unit in time. It's the day of Akrovas Karbonis. Given the in mechusar zman l'bayim since, something that's going to transpire today is considered as though it's happened already. It's not considered premature with respect to a development which will occur later today. In which case, this material is considered permissible already at 10 o'clock in the morning. Lavi suru. Masar Rav Sheshes. Really, that's true? That if something is going to develop today, we say, Ein mechusar zman, it's not considered early, it's not considered premature. Masar Rav Sheshes. Let's move on to a mitzvah, where the kohen places some blood on his thumbs, and then on top of that he places the oil. Let's say he switched the order. He did it out of sequence. Hikta matan shem and matan dam. First he put the oil and then the blood. He malanu shem, he has to redo it. So refill the container of oil, place the blood on his finger. V'yavsevitin shemen, and then follow with the oil. Achar matan dam, after placement of the blood. Likewise, matan bohenet matan sheva. Let's say he placed the blood on the metzora before he did the seven sprinklings opposite the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he did it out of order. Once again, you have to redo it. You malanu shemen, refill the oil. V'yavsevitin matan bohenet achar matan zayin. Then do it in order. First the seven sprinklings and then matan bohenet. The question is, why is this necessary? Out of order, out of sequence, but it's the same day. It's not considered premature. Just imagine it being done properly, in the right order. If it's all the same day anyways. Be honest, if you're going to tell me, Ein mechusar zman l'bayim, time, the time factor is not a factor. If it's going to happen the same day, why does he have to redo it? My David Ovid, whatever was done, leave it alone. Amar Papa Shani Hilchot Metzora. Metzora is very different, because the laws of Metzora are very absolute in terms of their sequence. The chsiva bu havaya, because we have the lashon havaya in the pasuk, which indicates absoluteness, exactness, in this order and in this order only. Dama hakas of zoyis tia, teres hametzer. And the word tia tells you, haviyasatei, leave it as is. The way I sequenced it, you can't reorder things. Masar Rav Papa. Here comes the question. Again, we say same day is not an issue. Hiktim chatos el hashamay. So first he meant to bring the asham of the metzora, and then the chata. Suppose he did the chata before the asham. It's possible. You can't, right? Let's say he did the shechita of the chata first. You can't say, okay, let's hold on to the blood of the chata, run back and do the asham, and then come back to the chata. It's too bad. It's too late. It's possible. Lo ye achem remaris bedami. You can't have another kohen taking the blood of the chata, holding on to it, stirring it to prevent congealment, to wait it out. No. El tuba terasa. The chatas is possible. You have to let it stay overnight until it sort of deforms. But taste the base and shave and go take it and burn it. Why? What's the issue? It was done too early? So what? It's all the same day anyways. And if it's the same day, time is not an issue. Says the Gemara, who's asking this question? Rav Papa? Rav Papa himself a minute ago told us that Matur is an exception because it says tiye. What's the question? I'm making waste of Rav Papa. Why is Rav Papa asking this question at all? For Rav Papa, who Domar, Rav himself just told us, Shani, Yilchas, Matur, Matur, Halachas are very different. Tichsibu Havaya, where it says Havaya. El Rav Papa, rather, Rav Papa, Hachay, Kashle, he was asking like this. The reason why he was asking was because here, what was done out of sequence? Just the Shechita, right? He just did the Shechita of the Chatas early. Shechita is not really critical. Shechita, as we know, from Menach, from Zvachim, it's not even considered an avoida. Even an ordinary person, a non-kohen, could do shechita. That would never have been an issue. Would not have been bound to the halacha of tiyah. Sequence, order, timing wouldn't really be critical regarding shechita. So then, what's the problem? That is out of order? Right? Tiyah, the word tiyah, doesn't pertain to shechita. The only issue is that it was done out of order. But if it's the same day, timing is not an issue. That was his question. We can say hanamila avoida, the term tia, which indicates absoluteness. Hanamila avoida pertains to things which are considered avoida, which must be done by a kohen, which are integral parts of the offering of the korban. Shechita, as opposed to the act of shechita, lava avoida, is not considered avoida. So what's the problem? the shechita of the chatas preceded the shechita of the asham via in mechusas zman v'aviyam. If timing is not an issue regarding same day activities, hold on to the blood and do the asham and then go back to the chatas. Acham emaras bedamo, let him stir the blood. V'leikir v'asham, offer the asham and then go back to the chatas. V'ha'adad likir v'chatas. If in fact ein mechusas zman v'aviyam, which was up until this point in the Gemara, the only way to properly address Rish Lakish is halacha. Let's go back. Rish Lakish told us a halacha that a mincha sa'ima, which was done shleil lishma, is technically kosher, and you could burn the kaimets, even though it's forbidden material, until you bring the next aimer, because it's all going to happen the same day, and timing is not an issue. So we consider it permissible material already early in the morning. And we just asked on that from a brayso, which indicates otherwise, that even if it's the same day, it's an issue. Hello, my Rapapa, says Rapapa, I'll explain to you. Rav Shimon Lakish is halach. High new time of the Rish Lakish. Why does Rish Lakish allow you to continue processing the Mincha So'ima despite the fact that the material is as yet forbidden? He holds. Guess what? It's not forbidden. Once the sun rises on the 16th day of Nisan, the crop becomes mutar. Regardless of whether or not the Mincha Sa'im was brought, there's a mitzvah to bring Mincha Sa'im on that day, but the arrival of that day, the day of the offering, the day that you're going to be makar Mincha Sa'im, that in itself clicks it and turns on the green light. That solves the issue. Of course, the Mincha So'imer is mutaf hakrava, because it's permissible material. It's already the day of hakrava. Heir Mizrach, it's a term describing the sunrise, right? The east lit up. Mater, that permits the new material. Rabbi Yechonah, v'Reish Lakish, in fact, we know that Rabbi Yechonah and Reish Lakish both concur regarding this opinion. The Amrit, they both say, afilu b'zman shal Beis HaMikdash kaim, even when the Beis HaMikdash was standing and there was an obligation to bring Mincha So'imer, we don't actually need the Mincha So'emer to be matar the crop. Rather, the arrival of the 16th day of Nisan, Heir Mizrach, that's matar. How do we know that Rish Lakish had this view? But Rish Lakish, la beferish itma, actually wasn't an explicit lesson from Rish Lakish. Ela mechlal itma was derived from something else that he taught us. It's not we have a Mishnah. You're not meant to bring any karbanis, any offerings of the new crop before the Omer. Some change it to menachos ubikurim. Menachos be'ema is the typical mincha that accompanies a behema. Maybe possible if you brought it before the Omer. It's possible because it's the new crop. It's not meant to be brought before the Omer. But let's say it's brought before the two breads on Shavuos. You see, what happens is the Omer is mata, the new crop, for personal consumption. But in terms of offering karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, you're meant to wait. You're meant to wait until Shavuos when they bring the two breads. That sort of opens up the new crop for Hakrava. That's only Elechatchila. It's not critical. So if he brings the new offerings from the new materials before Shavuos, he shouldn't do it. Maybe kosher, if he did it, it's okay. So says the Mishnah. Now Rish Lakish came and explained as follows. He quotes Amar Rish Lakish. When do we say that a carbon from new material offered before the Omer is possible? That's only correct. If it's the 14th day of Nisan or the 15th day, then, it's still before the day of Hakrava, of the Omer, nothing doing. Aval b'shisha asar, but if it's already 16 of Nisan, which is the day of the Omer, maybe kosher. If he brings the new material as a carbon, it's kosher. Alma kasavar, apparently he holds. Why? Because technically this material is already mutar. Even though the Omer was not yet offered, because the day itself permits it. Hey, Ramizrach Mater, as we explained earlier. Okay, so in brief, we have so far two opinions regarding a Minchas Omer, which was offered Shleil Lishma. We had Rav yesterday who says, nothing doing. It's a failed attempt because it set out to accomplish a very specific, defined mission to be mounted the new crop, which it hadn't accomplished, unfortunately, because it was Shleil Lishma. So the Mincha itself is possible. Reish Lakish, however, disagrees. He says, although you have to bring another Mincha, you haven't really fulfilled your obligation because it was Shleil Lishma, but technically the Mincha itself is kosher. Not only that, you can eat the material because the day itself is a matzah. Here comes a third opinion. Rava says, no issue at all. Mincha so'imer, Shleil Lishma, no problem. Not only is the Mincha kosher, we need not bring another one. V'rava amar mincha so'imer. Shakamta Shleil Lishma k'sheiro, it's fully okay. Vishira nechalan, the leftovers can be eaten. Here comes the punchline. Ve'eino tzrich mincha so'imer acheres latir, there's no need to bring another one to fulfill the obligation and to permit the material. You know why? She'ein ma'achshava mayelas, because any incorrect intentions or declarations that accompany a carbon are only deemed effective and detrimental if three conditions are met. Number one, ela b'misha roi lavoida, if they were executed by an individual who's worthy, who's qualified for this avoida, as opposed to, well, let's say, a kain who's a blemished kain, has no business being involved in this carbon, so his thought process will not affect the carbon. Number two, ubedavar horoi lavoida, with material that's suitable for hakrova. And thirdly, ubemakim horoi lavoida, in a location, in a setting which is fit for avoida. So if you fit those three conditions, if you meet those three conditions, then machshava can you know, be reckoned with and can serve to the detriment of the carbon, as opposed to mincha so'imer, which doesn't qualify. Why? So let's go through them one by one. First condition is b'mish roi l'avoida, only if it involves a person who is roi, lafuki koyin balmum, as opposed to koyin balmum who has no business being there. So his machshava doesn't affect the carbon. Number two, uvedava roi l'avoida, material which is fit, lafuki mincha so'imer, as opposed to mincha so'imer, which is comprised of barley, which isn't your classic material, which isn't typical. So although we make exception for this carbon, but it's not considered royal avoida, and therefore machshava doesn't affect it. Unbelievable. Deloy, lechazi, it's not fit for typical carbon. The chiddush with something of an exception. So one exception, one off. So therefore it says Rava, Shleil Lishma will not affect it. And thirdly, on condition that it took place in a makim, or a makim royal avoida, as opposed to nifka mizbech, the mizbech was chipped, rendering it unsuitable for avoida. But at that point in time, the kohen offers a carbon. Let's say he's doing shechita at that time, since there's no mizbeach in place, there's no proper mizbeach in place. There's no room for shleil lishma. Rashi says, let's say he does a kmitz of a kohenetz at that point, thinking pigel, thinking all these machshavis. While the mizbeach is in this broken state, the pigel doesn't latch onto the carbon. If the mizbeach was repaired on that same day, you can process the carbon. Okay, so we have three shitas regarding a mincha so'im shleil lishma. Completely pasul, completely kosher, or somewhere in the middle, which is Reish Lakish, it's kosher, and you can eat it, but you have to bring another one. Tanu Rabbanan. So we have a pasul regarding a treifa. Okay, so now we shift over to the halachis of an animal carbon. So let's say the animal's a treifa, has a critical internal wound which renders it unfit for personal consumption, it's asur. And likewise, we learn from a pasuk you can't offer it on the mizbeach, but it's based on a pasuk. The question is going to be, why a pasuk for this? Why do we need a pasuk to forbid offering a treif on the mizbeach? Once we know that I can't eat it, certainly I can't give it to the mizbeach, based on al-kal v'chayim, as we're going to see. Tanu Rabbanan, k'sho'imer min ha-bokar l'mata. Why does the pasuk have to repeat the term min ha-bokar, bring from cattle, which is a repetitive term? It already says it in the previous pasuk that you can offer cattle as a carbon. Shein tam alayim, it seems unnecessary. What's the purpose of this pasuk min ha-bokar? to teach not all cattle are acceptable, only some, as opposed to a treifa. It's unacceptable. Elorad lohitzis a treifa to exclude a treifa. Valedina, why is that necessary? We can figure it out on our own based on a kal vachomer. Valedina uma balmu. Look, a blemished animal. It's not an issue for an ordinary person, right? You can eat a blemished animal. Shemateres lehedit still asur legavay. You can offer it on the mizbeach. Certainly a treifa, which is asur for anybody to eat. Shasur lehedit. Of course, wouldn't you agree? It's asur to bring it as a karm. In addition, shasur legavaya. Why do we need a pasuk to exclude a treifa as a karm? Well, it's not so simple. And this is going to take us down all the way to the next Mishnah. To explain, to substantiate why the need for a pasuk to exclude, to forbid bringing a treif as a kar, we can learn it from a kavach. The answer is like this. It's not a simple equation. Sometimes, we find that at times, things that are usher for an ordinary person are still okay for a mizbeach. So I would think a treif likewise. That's why we need a pasuk to exclude it. For instance, chelav adam, fats, blood, yechicha, they'll disprove your point. Although they're usher for a hedyot, you can't eat chelav adam. Umtar l'gvayda mutar for the mizbeach. Perhaps a treifa likewise. That's what I would think. And that's why I need a pasuk to exclude it. Well, no, you can't compare. It's not a fair comparison. Mal chelav adam shkein boy mechal heter. Chelav adam are mutar to the mizbeach. That's because they're coming. They're extracted from behemoth, from an entity which is motor for consumption. Okay, so that would explain why they're motor to the mizbeach too, as opposed to the treifa, which is a complete iser entity. Time of a treifa shekula asur. Nobody can eat a treifa in its entirety, and therefore, I wouldn't even think that it's motor for the mizbeach. Well, malika teichiach. Says the Gemara again, it's not so simple to derive an isra of treifa l'gavaya from a kavachemar of the chela of the baal mum. You know why malika techiach? If you take a look at a bird that had malika, that will disprove your point. Shekulu isra, the whole bird in its entirety is usher for a regular person to eat. Basur lahedit, right? Umateris l'gavaya, you can offer it on the mizbeach, perhaps a treifa as well. Once again, no malo malika shekin dushasa isarta. No, a malika wouldn't really be an indicator of something which is asr for me and mutter for the mizbeach, because kdushasa isart. What makes it asr to me? The act of malika, which is part of the kdushasa, which is the act of akrova, that's what it generates, that's what creates the isr for an ordinary person. So that wouldn't be a reason to make it asr for the mizbeach. Of course, it's the opposite. As opposed to a treifa. Mashenge a treifa, sheng dusha sa isarta, the isra of treifa is unrelated to the dusha, to the act of akrova. It's asr per se because of its natural, you know, condition. So certainly if it's asr for me, it's asr for the mizbeach. Why do we need a pasuk to make it asr for mizbeach? Vimei shaft. Well, says the Gemara. Is there any way to refute that kal vachomer that we mentioned before? That's why we need a pasuk. When it says min habakar in the next pasuk, which is an extra expression, shein tamo leimer, the answer is leisiz atreif, to exclude atreif. Now, what do you mean to say when you mention refuting the kal vachomer? My mashafta. So again, let's just summarize the steps here. We have a pasuk of min habakar to exclude a treifa, to forbid bringing a treifa as a carbon. Why was that necessary? We have a kavachemer. A balmum which is mutter for me is asr for mizbeach. Certainly a treifa which is asr to me is asr to mizbeach. Is there any way to refute that? We need a pasuk. Why would I refute it? I'm a rav, mishum dikla meimar. As follows. Perhaps I cannot derive treifa from a kavachemer. Mishum dikla meimar, I can counter as follows. Minchas oimer techiach. Let's take a look at a minchas oimer, which is an example of something which is asr for me and mutar for mizbeach. So you see, it's not a proper equation. I can't eat. Material of the Minchas Ha'Oimed, it's still considered Chadash as far as I'm concerned. Until the Mincha is actually offered and burnt. Materials look away and you can offer it to Mizbeach. So, interestingly, the Minchas Ha'Oimed in itself is sort of a revolving circle because you use new material to offer the Minchas Ha'Oimed, which is meant to be mata, that it's that material in itself, which hasn't yet happened while you are makrabit. So technically, you're using forbidden material. Someone who would just add yet forbidden to the ordinary person and offering it as a carb. There's the Gavoya. So perhaps the treif as well. It's also for me, and what to the Gavoya? No, mana Minchas Ha'Oimed. Perhaps Minchas Ha'Oimed is different, has an advantage over everything else. Shkema Teres Chodesh, because it has the ability to be mata the new crop, so it's all powerful, maybe that sets it apart from everything else. The answer is Bishvius. What happens on the Minchas Ha'Oimed in the seventh year, where there's no new material to be mata, doesn't have that advantage. Well, Shvius Nami, Shkema Teres Svichet, even in the seventh year, there are wild, you know, growing materials, which is going to be permitted by this Mincha. Right, Shkema Teres Svichin. The answer is for Rukiva, going like a Rukiva, the Amar Svichin Asur Meshvius. All the wild growing material is Asur Min HaTorah on the seventh year, so you don't have that. Amale Rav Achbar Abel Rav Ashi, even according to Rav Akiva, we can point to an advantage that Minchas Ha'Oimed has. The Rukiva Nami Lifra, we can ask, even according to Rukiva, Mala Minchas Ha'Oimed, Shkema Teres Chodesh B'chutz Laretz. Even on the Shvius year, where everything in Eretz Yisrael is Asur B'Achilu, but in Chutz Laretz, outside Eretz Yisrael, there's no Shemitah. And the Minchas Ha'Oimed on that year, we matted the new crop outside Eretz Yisrael. I feel Madab, even according to the opinion that Chodesh, the new crop, B'chutz Laretz growing outside Eretz Yisrael, Lamedai Rise, is not Asur Min HaTorah, it doesn't have that need to become Mutter. Still, the Minchas Ha'Oimed has an advantage over a treifa. It's more powerful. Why? Shekein bo lahatir lav shebaseicha. Because as we explained, the Minchas Ha'Oimed has to accomplish heter within itself. The offering of the Minchas Ha'Oimed permits its own self-material to the Mizbeach. Right, the leftovers of the mincha are now going to be eaten. So, although there is a svichan issue, any growth of Eretz Yisrael in the seventh year is asur for going like that opinion, but it's still going to be matter the lav. There are two issues here. There's isur of svichan, there's isur of eating new material, chadash. So, although technically you can't eat it because of the isur of svichan, but it suspends, it deletes the lav of chadash within itself. So it's a powerful process, it's a powerful carbon. So perhaps that's why it's mutter to be offered, as opposed to a treifa which doesn't have that. Okay, based on this analogy, treifa nami takri v'tata lav shebeseicha. I can argue the same regarding the treifa. I would say, you know, without the pasuk that forbids a treifa as a carbon, I can argue the same point. I could say, look, treifa is asur for me to eat. But by offering the treifa as a carbon, v'tatir lav shebeseicha, it'll be matar its own lav. So basically, it's going to cancel the isra of treifa. The act of akrova somehow is going to take away the love of treifa, because now it's considered a carbon on the mizbeach. So I would think so. I would think maybe the akrova can sort of transform it into something which is permissible, just like by the Minchas Ha'Oimed. And perhaps that's why we require a pasuk to forbid bringing a treifa. Maybe that explains the braisa. So what's the problem? The braisa. Ela parichach, rather. We can ask like this. Mala minchas o'emer shke mitzvasa b'kach. You can't compare treifa to the o'emer. Minchas o'emer is mitzvasa b'kach, a Torah. Instructs us to bring a minchas o'emer exactly, precisely in this fashion. There's no other way to bring a minchas o'emer other than using new material. You have to bring the new crop and offer it as a mincha. So of course, it permits itself. Of course, the process is sanctioned. That's what the Torah required. As opposed to a treifa. Who says you have to bring a treifa? Who gave you this idea of bringing a treifa? You don't have to do that. You can bring a regular kosher, a healthy behemoth. So once again, go back to square one. Of course a treifa cannot be brought as a carbon. If I can't eat it, I can't offer it to Mizbeach either. So why would I need a pasuk for that? Continues the Gemara. We have other ways to explain the Brisa as well. Shlokesh Amar. So again, the Brisa had a pasuk to exclude a treifa. Why a pasuk? We have a kal vachomer if the Baal Mum is aser, of course the treifa is aser. Then the Brisa says, well, not necessarily so. We can't necessarily have a kal vachomer to prove this point. We need a pasuk. Shlokesh Amar, Shem Ne'ikel Meimar, Mefatim Akteris Yechiach. I can't necessarily learn the Isra of Treifa from a kal vachomer. We take a look at Mefatim Akteris, a person who processes the Akteris, recipe. She'asa lehedit. Mutar l'gavoy, it's also for an ordinary person, but it's mutar for the Mizbeach. So, just as that is mutar, perhaps the treif as well. Although it's also for me, it's mutar for the Mizbeach. And that's why we require a pasuk. Ask the Gemara first of all, what do you mean? Mefatim gavru. Mefatim means the person who's actually putting together the various ingredients of the k'teiros. That's the person doing it. What do you mean to say? It's mutar for gavoy. It's the person. The person is not aser, it's not mutar. Elapitum. Oh, we're talking about the material that was put together. Pitum k'teiros yechiach. This concoction, the k'teiros recipe that was put together. Also, that will disprove our point. Because here's an example of something which is usher for me to consume. I can use the terrorists, I can't burn it for my own personal sake, but it's still mutter for them. Mizbeach mutter l'gavaya. So perhaps a treifa as well. And that's why we need a pasuk. Well, no, malo pitum akteris, shkim mitzvasa b'kach. Once again, you can't show anything from there because that's something which is meant to be done this way. Torah says, look, this is how you make Torahs, period. Mitzvah sebekach. That's the one and only way of doing it. As opposed to a treifa. Who decided, who tells you to bring a treifa as a carbon? Why would I think it's mutter? Marvdei d'Ravina Amar. I'll give you another reason why I would think the treifa is mutter l'gavaya. Meshum dikla meimer. We could say Shabbos yechichu. Take a look at Avi Shabbos. You can't do malach on Shabbos, but you can bring a carbon on Shabbos. Shasur lehedit. Mutter is the gavaya. You can't do personal malachis, but you can bring kabanis. Perhaps a treifa likewise. It's also for me, but mutter for the mizbeach. No, malach Shabbos shkein, which mechalal etzel hedit v'mila. Perhaps Shabbos is different because there's an exception regarding even an ordinary person. You could do mila, which is a malach on Shabbos, so maybe that's why it allows kabanis. Ah, to mila tzarech hediti? Who? Mila mitzvah. Mila is not an indicator at all of an exception because mila is a mitzvah. It's not a personal need. Once again, just like Torah, we said mitzvah sabakach. The Torah specifies bring karbanis on Shabbos. It's not the way to do it. That's not an indicator regarding permissibility of treifa. Rav Ada bar Ava Omar Meshum Dikul Meimar. He has another argument. He says, look, kilayim yechich. You can prove from kilayim shasur lehedit. Shatnez, right? The mix of wool and linen is also for me to wear. You can use it for Mizbeah, the Beis HaMikdash, the Kehanim wore. There are garments which are comprised of wool and linen. So you see, it is necessarily linked one to the other. Something can be usher for me, a mutter for the Mizbeah, a mutter for Beis HaMikdash. Likewise, a treva, usher for me, a mutter for Mizbeah. Malach Kalayim Shekhen Hutcher Mechalon Etzel Hedi, but Tzitzis. Well, maybe Kalayim has a disadvantage because there's an exception. It's Hutcher Mechalon, there's an exception from the general rule regarding even regarding an ordinary person, regarding tzitzis. Tzitzis is comprised of wool and linen. Atu tzitzis terech editu? Why are you considering tzitzis personal needs? Mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. So perhaps likewise by the treifa, right? Even though I can't have a treifa for personal use, but I can use it as a mitzvah for the mizbeach. Atu tzitzis terech editu mitzvah. Once again, the same argument that's applied to the Torahs and to Shabbos can be applied to the Kelayim as well. Mitzvah. The big dekuna are not kosher if they're not made of Kelayim. As opposed to a treifa, who asked you to bring a treifa as a carbon? Rav Shisha b'de Ravidi Amar. Let me explain to you the Brice in my way. Why do we require a pasuk to exclude a treifa? Why can't I just learn simply from the Kal Vachomer? If a Balmum is Asr, is Mutar Lehadid Asr L'Gavaya, certainly a Treva, which is Asr for me, certainly Asr for Gavaya. Rav Shishi b'Rav David Amar Mishum Dikel, maybe because I can argue as follows. Lahadar Dina V'Seiti Matzat. It's true that if we take it individually, one by one, we look for examples of cases that show us, you know, items or materials which are asr for a hediyot, for an ordinary person, but mutar l'gavaya. If you take it one by one, you can refute it and say, well, you can't compare. That's an exception. That's different than treifa. That's different than treifa. If you combine them together and tie them together as sort of a single source, you could, in fact, arrive at that conclusion. You can conclude that at times things that are asr lehedid are mutal gavaya, and likewise treifa, despite it being asr for a hedid, can be mutal gavaya if not for the pasuk. That explains the pasuk as follows. La'ad din. Let's take this din, which means to say this formula, v'teisi ma'atzad, and apply a ma'atzad. Let's combine the various items and arrive at a common denominator. What is the commonality found in all? They're asr lehedid and mutal gavaya. Let's start with malik. You're moy like a bird. I can't eat it, but you can offer it to the mizbeach. So what's the counter argument? Well, no, malik, it's mutal gavaya because that's the process of akrava. What made it asr? The act of akrava, the malik. So of course it's mutal gavaya. Mala malika shekein kedushasa kedusha, the process of the akrava aisarta, that generated the isra. Chelav adam yechicho. That can be disproven from chelav adam. There's no mass of kedusha that's making it asr for an ordinary person to consume. They're asr inherently, right? I can't eat chelav, I can't eat dam, and I can still offer it to the mizbeach. Perhaps the treifa as well. Well, you'll counter argue by saying, the chelav adam, they're different. She came by mechalheta because all of their themselves are asr material, but they're derived from a general animal which is mutter. So maybe that's a mitigating factor. Let's go back to malika. Malika techiach. You can disprove that point from malika. Although the entire bird is asr, you can still give it to the mizbeach. V'chazar din. We'll go back and forth. Loi rizek kariza. The element found in this one, which you're attributing the halacha to, is not found in the other one, so you can't attribute it to that point. And likewise, vice versa. You can't say the reason why is because of this, because the other one doesn't have this. And it's still mutal gavaya, and vice versa. What's the common denominator? Despite the fact that they're usher for me to eat, whether it's a bird that had malika, whether it's chelav adam, still, nevertheless, mutal gavaya, you can offer it on the mizbeach. Likewise, a treifa, I would think. Afaniyavi treifa can include the treifa as well. Avabish asur le'edit, timutaris le'goy, although it's asur to me, it's mutar for a mizbeach. And that explains why I need a pasuk of inabaka to exclude a treifa. One more question. Hold it. Ma, latzal le'shevash ben, but let's look at another commonality between malika and chelav adam shekein mitzvah sabakach. Ah, we have that mitzvah sabakach card in both. whether it's a bird that had malika, or chilev adam that's offered on the mizbech, that's the one and only way to do it. The Torah instructs to do malika on a bird that's offered. The Torah instructs to burn chilev adam on the mizbech, to offer chilev adam on the mizbech. It's the only way to do it. Of course it's mutter. The Torah tells you to do it. As opposed to a treifa, who's to say you're allowed to bring a treifa on the mizbech? So why would I need a pasuk to exclude treif? And this will go on and on until the next Mishnah. But Hashem will leave for tomorrow. Okay, so in a nutshell, we discussed three shittas in Minchas HaOmer, Av Shalei Lishma, pasuk completely, kosher completely, or somewhere in the middle. And we discussed the need for the pasuk of Minabakar, Lahitis HaTreif. All the best to you, Natzlachar.